From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Soccer podcast. I'm Connell McCourt, coming to you from the Raleigh House studios here at Sports Radio with 10 WHB. And it's all Champions League this week. We're going to preview the upcoming UEFA Champions League starting on Tuesday and Wednesday. Who do we think is going to win? Who do we think is going to drop out in the Europa League eventually? There's a lot of games before that happens. It all starts this week, only here, live, on your home for soccer in Kansas City. It's Sports Radio with 10 WHB. Hello, and welcome back to the Independent Republic of Soccer podcast. As I said, coming to you from the Raleigh House studios here, Sports Radio with 10 WHB. And what we're going to be doing here over the next, over the entire season, I suppose, it's going to be before every match day in the Champions League. I'm going to be speaking with different people around Europe, different people around the States, football experts, getting their take on who they think's actually going to go on and win the Champions League this year. Who do they think's going to go out into the Europa League? Who's going to be the dark horse? Is going to take people by surprise? Will the old guard step up again like they usually have over the past couple of years in Real Madrid and stuff? So it's going to be interesting. It's the biggest and the best sports competition in the world. In my opinion, I mean, that's why it sells the most. That's why it's worth the most revenue. That's why it sells all around the world the most. It's the place to be. It's the cream of the crop. It's the best teams in Europe against the best teams in Europe. And we're going to be there to preview it every step of the way. The reason the idea for the podcast actually came around was I was sort of just thinking, I mean, it's tough for fans, especially casual fans, more in the US than back home. It's hard to keep up with all the leagues that are involved in the Champions League, especially all the teams, how they're doing domestically, how they're getting on, how are their big players playing well, you know, have they hit the ground running, whatever. It's tough to keep up with all the different leagues. So hopefully this will just be a bite-sized way you can keep up with every team in the Champions League, how they're getting on, how they're doing, and what the prospects are for the future. If you do want to get involved, You can get me on Twitter. My name's Connell_MCC. It's Connell_MCC. So you can get me on there. Any questions, concerns, comments, anything that we don't understand or that you don't understand that you need us to break down, you'd like us to speak about in the next couple of weeks. I will be joined by, as I said, just different reporters and stuff around the country and around Europe as well. Okay, so let's just get straight into it then. With Group A. Group A stars Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, Club Bruges of Belgium, and Monaco, depending on whatever way you pronounce it. And this is quite a tough group, actually, to start off, especially if you're trying to predict. A couple of teams, usual mainstays around Europe, and they haven't really got off to a great start this year. I mean, we'll start with Atletico. They haven't really started well at all. They just about got a 94th minute equaliser yesterday. A young Borja Garcés came on, scored in the 94th minute for Diego Simeone's side to try and rescue a draw against Eibar. So it just sort of goes to show how they've started their season. I mean, it hasn't been good. Doesn't look like a normal Diego Simeone side. Even natural defenders, Diego Godin, some of the best players around the world, have had a terrible start, really shaky start, and it just don't look like themselves. I mean, I expect them to, the longer the year goes on, to sort of grow into themselves and play like the team that we always know that they are, but they have not started well. They've let go a couple of players as well. They've got rid of a bit of deadwood as well. They've got rid of the likes of Fernando Torres and players like, I mean, well, not deadwood, but Kevin Gamero as well, also left. But they have strengthened as well. They brought in Thomas Lemar from Monaco, who will coincidentally be travelling back to Monaco this year during these games. And they've also brought in Croatian Niko Kalinic. So they have strengthened Atletico Madrid. Okay, they did lose Gamero, and of course they probably didn't want to lose him, but they have strengthened around him as well. And the other team, Dortmund, Germany. Dortmund, they started okay. They're sitting second in the league at the minute. They won two, drew one. They've been busy during the offseason as well. They've been bringing in the likes of Axel Witsel and Paco Alcacer from Barcelona. They have lost a couple of players as well. Socrates, they lost to Arsenal. Yarmolenko as well, who actually scored today for West Ham. They've also lost Schürrle as well, actually went to Fulham. So this will be sort of a running theme throughout the majority of these groups. There's been a very big high turnover of players coming in and out of the massive clubs this year. I know Lucien Favre, the new Borussia Dortmund coach, he was the coach of Nice last year. He finished third in Ligue 1 and actually got them the Champions League. So he impressed. He was very high on the radar all around Europe. Dortmund managed to secure his services after Thomas Tuchel went to PSG. But so, yeah, Dortmund, more of the same really from Dortmund. It's sort of flying under the radar. They don't have the biggest budget in Germany, but they always sort of seem to be there every couple of the years. They always seem to be popping up, especially in the latter stages of the Champions League. So I would never write them off. Club Brugge, okay, they're top of the table at the minute. They're top of the Belgian League at the minute. They've only dropped points in one game this season. Of course, the Belgian League, as we all know, some of the soccer diehards out there, they'll be watching these games, will know it's not a great league. It's not up there with the top five leagues around Europe. But still, 19 points out of a possible 21 is pretty impressive. They have a Brazilian up front. Wesley is his name. He scored a couple this year, but very highly rated. So they're expecting a lot off him. So he could show up and embarrass a couple of people this year, embarrass a couple of defences, especially the way Dortmund and Atletico have sort of started a bit sluggish. One team he really could put pressure on is the fourth team, is Monaco this year. They've had a terrible start to the season. Only one win out of their first five games. They drew 1-1 yesterday as well with Toulouse. When they get their full squad, I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be grand. I think it'll be very tough to get out of this group. I think they will struggle to get out of the group. But they do have a very good side. They have really, really talented players. Tielemans, Golovin, the Russian. Heinrichs as well, who they just brought in recently. They do have talent all over the field. And Monaco are one of those teams, they always seem to be selling their best players every year. They can't really hold on to their best players. Like Thomas Lemar, who left last year. So this will be a really hard group to get out of. This is actually a tough one to start with if we're doing predictions. Atletico, Borussia, Monaco, I can see them three fighting it out to get through. I think Club Brugge definitely finishing bottom of this group. It's a tough one to call because they all do have very good... They have different things that make them good. Diego Simeone's team just never know when to give up, and when they need to defend, they can defend. So it'll be hard to rule against it. I can definitely see them going through. I think between Dortmund and Monaco, I don't think there's too much between the two teams. If I had to choose, I would say Dortmund to go through and Monaco to drop into the Europa League. But, it could be a toss-up between those two. It'll be interesting to see in the next couple of weeks what other guests and stuff I speak to have to say about those two teams and what way it actually works out. But yeah, that's Group A. That's Group A in the bank. So I would say Atletico going through, probably Dortmund as well joining them, and Monaco going into the Europa League. Group B is it's a tasty group as well. It has Barcelona, Inter Milan, PSV Eindhoven, and Tottenham. So Spurs fans, that's a bit of a... you don't really know how to feel about this group. You want to get to this stage, the biggest tournament. Tottenham have been trying to get into the Champions League for years, trying to break in to be that big team into the top four as it was back then, more of a top five, top six now in the Premier League. But Tottenham have definitely established themselves over the last couple of years, especially when they get this new stadium. They haven't had a great start to the season. They've only won one game out of their first three. That was against Man United, fairly convincing actually or in their last three, sorry. In their last three games, yeah, they've won one against Man United, fairly convincing 3-0 victory. There are a lot of people saying things about Harry Kane. Is he tired? Do they rely on him too much? I don't really think so, to be honest. I think he's currently playing up top as a two. He played up top in a two on Saturday against Liverpool. I don't really think it worked. I think Liverpool sort of had it sussed out. And they could have scored. I mean, they could have had a penalty as well in the last minute with Son. But I think Liverpool deserved the result, to be honest. I don't think Tottenham worked hard enough. And especially with Kane up there on a two, I think he's much better up there as a one with the two wide men coming in either side of him. But he was up there with Lucas Moura, who has been a revelation this year for Tottenham. Tottenham fans last year just sort of had to sit and watch him on the bench, not really knowing what he was capable of. And he's came in, he sort of started like a house on fire more, and he is a terrific player as well, so I can expect to see much more from him. Tottenham will be staking a claim to go through this year, I think, in Group B. They do have a lot of competition in, obviously, Barcelona. They have Messi back scoring. They've had a fantastic start to the season. 4 games, 4 wins. And they've kind of... Barca, they have lost players, but they've added players as well, and they've added key players in key positions as well. They got rid of Deadwood, like Paulinho, a former Spurs player. I don't think anybody knew how he got anywhere near that Barcelona team. But they've strengthened. They've brought in Arturo Vidal. They've brought in Brazilians Arthur and Malcolm as well. Arthur, the centre midfielder, and Malcolm, a right winger. And look, they've already got an embarrassment of riches. Like the Messi, Suarez, Coutinho, who actually had to come off the bench. They're just so stacked. Sergio Roberto actually playing in the midfield is more comfortable position as opposed to right back. So I think Barcelona will be very good this year. And that is sort of reflected in what the bookies think as well. The bookies have them as 5-1 odds to go on and win the tournament. 6-1, actually, I'm seeing now. So Barcelona, of course, you know what you're expecting every year. You know what you're getting. So they'll be very tough to beat, I think. I think Tottenham will have their hands full. Another team that could throw the cat in amongst the pigeons in this group is actually PSV. PSV Eindhoven, it's hard to tell what they are because there's only so much you can learn from watching the Eredivisie. It's a good league. It's a good competition and stuff, but it's not up there with the rest. And it doesn't have the prestige that the other leagues have. And the reason for that is because there's a couple of good teams. You always have Ajax, you always have PSV. Sometimes you have Feyenoord as well, but there's not really that much competition in Holland. But PSV, as I said, you can only beat what's put in front of you. They're flying high at the minute. They've won 7-0 yesterday, actually. Scored 21 goals in 5 games, in their first 5 games. It's Mark van Bommel. Actually, some soccer purists, some big soccer fans would know who Mark van Bommel is. This is his first season in charge of PSV as head coach. He signed a couple of players, but you know PSV, they're like Ajax and stuff as well. They like to produce players, like to bring players through. They have Hirving Lozana. He scored 4 in their past 5 games. He's scoring their goals at the minute. So if they keep flying high, winning breeds a mentality that winning is the only thing. And if PSV get into a bit of a run and taking on the likes of Tottenham, Barcelona, and the fourth team who we're going to discuss, Inter Milan, I think they could shock a couple of people this year, PSV. Inter Milan, it's a bit of a tough one because it's going to take time to gel at Inter Milan. They have done a lot of recruiting during the summer and stuff. They haven't started very well. They've won 1 game, drew 1, and they've been beaten their first 2. They were actually beat yesterday. They were beat by Parma 1-0. The player that actually scored the goal for Parma is on loan from Inter. So it's very silly them not putting in the clause that he can't play against his parent club. But there you go. I don't think Inter will have too much trouble. Especially there's rumours that they could actually be getting Luka Modric from Real Madrid. He's shown a lot of interest in going to Inter. And obviously they'll be more than willing to take him. And if you add that type of player to Perisic, Nainggolan, who they signed from Roma, Mario Icardi, Inter could cause a bit of trouble this year, but they have not started very well at all. So it'll be interesting to see. I think, I mean, Barcelona definitely will go through in this group. I can't see any other stage of events where Barca would actually go out. But to go through, Tottenham definitely have enough talent to go through. But it's just whether there's a lot of stuff going on with their stadium and stuff at the minute. They're not actually playing too well at the minute. You know, they're not actually gelling. So it'll be interesting to see. PSV could threaten. Inter Milan definitely could threaten if they get their full squad on the pitch. But yeah, so I would say Barcelona, Tottenham definitely to go through. Inter Milan to go into the Europa League, and PSV probably to drop out, just because purely because of the talent on the other three teams. Would have to go with those three. But yeah, Group B is definitely a hard one to call. Group C is a bit easier to call, I suppose. It has Red Star Belgrade of Serbia, Liverpool, Napoli, and PSG. Now, Liverpool fans would have probably been a bit worried when they first seen this group, because Napoli and PSG are both stellar teams, always there. Red Star Belgrade, I can see them, obviously, they would be getting the wooden spoon in this group. They are top of the league, Red Star Belgrade, actually. They've won 7 from 7, won their game actually at the weekend 6-0. Some soccer fans might know a couple of their players. Marco Marin used to play for Chelsea. He got on the score sheet yesterday for them. And to be fair to Red Star Belgrade, they haven't had an easy route to get to the Champions League here. They've had to beat a couple of stellar sides on the way, but with that group that they drew in, Liverpool, Napoli, PSG, that's big, big ask, definitely, and I can't see them doing it. Liverpool are flying high at the minute, and they look like the team to beat in the Premier League, at least. I know City are flying as well, but Liverpool are going to cause a lot of problems this year for a lot of teams. I couldn't actually believe it when I saw that they were 12-1. It's a massive price for Liverpool, especially for the finalists last year, beating finalists. 12-1. It is a big ask to get back there, but Liverpool just have so much firepower. I can't see any team in Europe that will be able to stop their front three of Salah, Mane and Firmino scoring, and especially with adding Naby Keita and stuff, dropping Jordan Henderson and stuff to the bench. They'll take some stopping, but if there's one team that could stop them, it's probably the team in the group, PSG. Thomas Tuchel, he's just seemed to have picked up where Unai Emery left off. Dominating in France, they had a dominating 4-0 win yesterday, and that was without Mbappe and Neymar and other players. PSG, definitely, I can see going through this group, definitely. They've just so much talent, ridiculous amount of talent. The other team, Napoli. And Napoli have started well, actually, under Carlo Ancelotti. He just took over recently. They did lose Jorginho to Chelsea, who was very instrumental for them last year in all their success in the Serie A and the Champions League. They still do have a lot of good players, Napoli. I mean, they're always there. They're always there and thereabouts in the latter stages of the Champions League, pushing Juventus for Serie A in recent years as well. And that's because of the players that they have: Dries Mertens, Marek Hamšík, Fabian Ruiz, who they just brought in from Real Betis, actually, in the summer for 30 mil. So Napoli could definitely trouble Liverpool and PSG, who would see themselves probably as the two front runners to go through in this group. Napoli could have something to say that. They always seem to pose problems for the big boys. I remember a couple of years ago, they went to the Etihad and got a result. So another very, very tough group. If I was pushed on, I would have to say PSG definitely through. Liverpool, yeah, Liverpool definitely through as well, because Liverpool, they haven't just rested on their laurels this year. I mean, they did reach the Champions League final last year, and everyone was sort of taken aback by how they got there, but they've went on and they've strengthened. As I said, fair play to Klopp. He's went out and he's bought Keita, Fabinho, Shaqiri, Alisson, of course, the goalkeeper, where they had all those problems. So he's addressed the problems. He's went out. Now Van Dijk has another season under him. Milner, who's playing like Messi at the minute. Liverpool, I think, yeah, definitely. PSG, Liverpool, definitely go through in that one. Napoli to drop in the Europa League, which is terrible news for my team, Celtic. And Red Star Belgrade, I can see them getting the wooden spoon in this one. But A tough one to call, definitely. Group D is probably the least attractive of all the groups. It's Galatasaray, Lokomotiv Moscow, Schalke, and FC Porto. So Galatasaray of Turkey, they're top of the Turkish league at the minute. They've had a very good start to the season, won 4, only been beaten once. It's hard to tell, really, what they'll be able to achieve this year, because this group, I could actually see them probably, they could nearly go through, just because of the other teams in it. I don't think are that great or are unbeatable in any way. Some players that they have that some casual fans will know will be the likes of Nagatomo, the Japanese right back who played in the World Cup this summer. He came from Inter Milan. Muslera, the goalkeeper for Uruguay, who had a terrible World Cup. As I said, it's hard to tell. The Turkish league isn't the greatest opposition either, but if there's any group that they could go through, it would be this one, the likes of the other teams in it, Lokomotiv Moscow. Last year's league winners, Russian league winners, for what that's worth. They do have a couple of decent players, to be fair, Lokomotiv Moscow. I'm not too familiar with their team. I had to go through and do a bit of research. They've Benedikt Hovedes from Schalke. They just signed. They've also got Fedor Smolov, who scored 14 goals in 22 games last year for Krasnodar in the Russian league. He was the second top goal scorer in the league, so they haven't waited about. They've went in there and they've seen that this guy can score, especially in the Russian league, and they've went and got him. They also have Jefferson Farfan, who casual fans might be aware of as well. He's played for a lot of years all around Europe. Schalke are a pretty good team. Like they finished fourth, I believe, last year in Germany. They've had a bad start to the season. They're yet to win a game this year. They've been beaten 2-1 yesterday by Mönchengladbach. It's been one of them ones. They've had a big transition. They lost their star centre half and Thilo Kehrer to PSG. They still do have the bearings around them of a good team. You know, they've still kept a bunch of things which made them good last year. Guido Bergstaller, their goal scorer up top, 13 goals last year in all competitions. They also have Harit, the attacking midfielder, as well, and Breelin Bolo, the 21-year-old Swiss international, as well. He can scare some defenders anyway. Let me tell you, the speed that kid has is frightening. So he will definitely, he won't be able to rest. Any of the centre halves won't be able to rest when they're coming up against a player like him. The other team in the Group D is FC Porto, who always seem to be there every year. They're sort of a mainstay, part of the furniture in the Champions League these days. They could shock a couple of people, I think, this year. They've lost a couple of players. They lost Ricardo Pereira and stuff to Leicester. The right back that Man United signed, blanking on his name, Dalot, I think his name was. The Portuguese right back. And Willy Bolly as well, they lost to Wolves. So Porto, they're another team like Monaco. They always seem to be selling their best players. They have added to their team as well. Their captain, the Mexico captain, Hector Herrera. He's a great player. Vincent Abukabar as well, scoring goals for them up top. And Brahimi, their left winger, who caused so much damage for them last year as well. So Porto could be in and around there. They always seem to qualify through the groups and always sort of go out in the last 16 around that stage. They could possibly go through the group again this year. I can see Schalke going through if they turn their form around, which I expect them to. I would see FC Porto and Schalke going through, probably Galatasaray going into the Europa League and Lokomotiv Moscow getting the wooden spoon in that one. We'll take a wee time out here after that's the first four groups. We'll come back and do the next four. I'll also discuss who I think is going to win the tournament and who could possibly be the dark horse and shock a couple as well. Back after this on Sports Radio 10 WHB.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back to the Independent Republic of Soccer podcast. I'm Conal McCourt, coming to you from the Rally House Studios here in Sports Radio 810 WHB. And we just finished off there talking about Group D. Let's just jump straight into Group E then. Group E consists of Bayern Munich, Benfica, Ajax, and AEK Athens. So Bayern Munich, obviously, the one that just stands out here, jumps out at everyone, which for good reason. They have a very good coach and have very good players. I can see Bayern Munich doing some real damage this year. Last couple of years, they haven't really been at the races. I think there's been a bunch of contributing factors to that. Sometimes the recruitment's been a bit sluggish. The coaches they've brought in, Ancelotti, didn't really seem to hit the ground running. Neither did Jupp Heynckes. He came in and did what he had to do, consolidated. They just didn't really look like the European force that they had been in recent years. But I think this year could be different. The coach that they did bring in is Kovac. He's the former Croatian coach. Actually coached Eintracht Frankfurt for the past three seasons. And when he first came in there, this is actually staggering. He first came in, he had a playoff game. In one of the last games of the season to stay in the division. They actually won the playoff game, stayed in the division. 2 years later, he had Frankfurt in a Champions League position for the majority of the season. They ended up dropping out of that. But he brought them to two successive German Cup finals. They were beaten the first one and they actually won the second one last year, which was Eintracht Frankfurt's first trophy in 30 years or something. But he's a really good coach. He gets the best out of his players, and he's a coach that he has that German mentality. He fits right in there. They're all for one. The team's the most important thing. Everyone does their thing. And for Bayern Munich recently here, it's kind of been the old guard that have been stepping up. The likes of, they can still do the business. Robin, Frank Ribery. I mean, Robin's 34. Ribery, I think, 35. Thomas Müller. I mean, Müller's much younger than the two of them, but he's just one of those players seems like he's been around forever. Neuer, obviously, back. He's mid-30s. But they have brought in a couple of young players as well to sprinkle around there. Serge Gnabry, of course, Arsenal fans will remember. He just an example of one of those players that goes to England. They think he's nothing, they let him go. The Arsenal's credit, they let him go to over to Germany. He's proved himself, and he got he was at Hoffenheim. And he was so good that he ended up getting bought by Bayern Munich. So he's been showing up for them. Gnabry's been showing up. Robin, Ribery, and you know it's just typical Bayern Munich. They've started. They've been firing on all cylinders. So watch out the rest of their group, I suppose. The other team's Benfica. They're top of the league in Portugal. After four games, they have Haris Seferovic, the Swiss striker, up top. They're expecting a lot from him. I mean, he hasn't scored. He's only scored four goals in the past 20 games or something for them. So they're expecting a lot out of him. They're also expecting a lot out of their 34-year-old striker. Too much, in fact. He's injured. That's Jonas, the Brazilian striker. He's by far and away scored the most goals for Benfica in the last load of years. And him being injured this year, their goal scoring's kind of it's kind of struggled. They've needed Seferovic to step up, and he hasn't really done it yet. Not saying that he couldn't do it, because he is a talented player, but I suppose time will tell with that one. Ajax of Amsterdam, they've started very well this year. Ajax are also another European royalty. They always seem to be in there and thereabouts. They've dropped off sort of in the past decade or so, become a bit more of a Europa League team, if truth be told. But they're always there. They've brought back some players, brought in a bit of more experienced heads. Ajax is always known for bringing through the youth, the likes of Dennis Bergkamp and stuff, like the nurture of the youth there and bring it through Frank de Boer when he was there. They brought through players, Victor Fischer, I mean, Davy Klaassen. You could keep going through and name all the players that they've brought through in the recent times. But they've brought back some experienced heads. They brought Daley Blind back from Man United. Dusan Tadic, of course, also from Southampton. They did let go one of those youth prospects I was talking about, Justin Kluivert, Patrick Kluivert's son. He was top notch, so they couldn't really hold on to him. They've always have been a selling team, really. And Matthias De Ligt, the centre half, I think he could be the next one. A lot of top European teams courting around him. City, Munich, you know, you name it. He looks like he'll be going for a lot of money, like Ajax do. I mean, it was only last year, 2 years ago, they sold their then star centre back, Davinson Sanchez, got 40 mil or something for him from Tottenham. So they always have a knack for producing these players, bringing through great players and selling them on at a profit. Just can they take the next step? I suppose it is now for Ajax. The fourth team is AEK Athens, and I mean, honestly, I wouldn't even waste my time. They're the worst team in the competition. They cut through at Celtic's expense, to my chagrin, but they, I mean, Celtic outplayed them both games, couldn't finish. I don't really expect anything from AEK. They're not a great side, so I think they'll be getting the wooden spoon in that group. Obviously, Bayern Munich to go through. I think it could be a toss up between Benfica and Ajax. If I had to choose, if you pressed me to choose, I could see Ajax actually going through, and Benfica going into the Europa League. But we'll see how that one turns out. Group F is a very good group, I think. Man City, Lyon, Hoffenheim, and Shakhtar Donetsk. So City obviously are the favourites to go through, the favourites to win the tournament. They're 11-2, 4.5-1 favourites to win the tournament, and for good reason. They are playing some unbelievable football. Even yesterday, 3-0 win at Fulham, at home to Fulham. Fulham didn't even look like they had a chance. They didn't even threaten. City just looked like they didn't even get out of second gear, and they just knock up all about so well. I think out of all the teams I've actually watched, and granted I haven't watched all full games of all the leagues, I've been watching a lot of highlights and stuff, but I haven't seen any team knock the ball about like City do, so they'll be really, really hard to stop. And that's, I mean, they're without De Bruyne at the minute. News about him today, actually, he has said that he has targeted to come back for the Manchester Derby on the 11th of November. That's his target. He's trying to get back for that, when he originally thought he would be out to nearly the end of November, possibly start of December. So that'll be good news for Man City fans. Bad news for Man United fans. Another team I think could be one of the dark horses I was speaking about is Lyon. Very, very good team. Finished third last year in Ligue 1. They did lose Mariano Diaz to Real Madrid, but they've strengthened as well. They brought in, much to my annoyance, Moussa Dembele from Celtic, which actually, to be honest, I was kind of happy to see him go in the end. It sort of became a bit messy, and 20-odd million, yeah, we'll take it, it's fine. But I can see them doing damage, especially adding them, and also Jason Denier, former Celtic player as well. He was a centre-half at City. Decent player. I think they could really ruffle a few feathers this year, because they have got Ndombele, Fekir, who highly sought after, Liverpool, City, Man United, everyone after him. Speaking of Man United, Memphis Depay as well, who also just seems to have a new lease of life playing at Lyon. So I think they could be the team that shake it up this year and could go into the very latter stages of the Champions League. But that's my dark horse. Hoffenheim, they haven't really lived up to the hype of last year, Hoffenheim. Their coach, the young guy, Julian Nagelsmann, everyone is crazy about this guy in Germany. He's such a young, vibrant coach. He's shown a lot of metal. He's shown a lot of steel, doing a lot of things that other coaches wouldn't do, dropping some big players, bringing some new players through, instilling his system into them, making sure they need to play, need to know his system and how he plays. And last year they were tremendous. I mean, finishing top four in Germany with their budget as well is such a it's no mean feat. Anyway, they were beaten yesterday by Fortuna Dusseldorf though. Reece Nelson, the Arsenal player on loan, he came on his first game, scored actually. They're hoping he can be another Serge Gnabry, although Arsenal fans will be looking him back if it turns out that way. And in that game yesterday as well, my God, I watched it. The Kramaric, the striker Kramaric, had the miss of the season so far. We're only 4 weeks in. Absolutely miss of the season. Just go and check it out if you haven't seen it. Type it into YouTube, Twitter, whatever, you'll get it. Shakhtar Donetsk, I mean, they're always seem to be there as well. Shakhtar always turn up in the Champions League. They're by far the best team in Ukraine, obviously. They've had a great start to the season this year. They've won the first 7 out of 8 games. They do have a bit of an interesting past and future, Shakhtar. They play all their home games 150 miles away from Donetsk, from their home stadium. If any of their home fans are wanting to go, they're facing a 600-kilometre round trip. So, obviously not ideal for any fans, for any team to be playing so far away from your home pitch. The reason for that is the ongoing war in Donbass, where their stadium actually is. Yeah, there's been a bit of political unrest there from about 2013, I believe, and ever since then they haven't been able to play there. They've had to play 150, 200 miles north, which I'm sure is an annoyance. But they're another team that they always seem to be selling their best players. They always seem to be bringing these players in. A lot of players from Brazil over the years. This year just passed, actually, Fred, who went to Man United, another Brazilian. They have a lot of Brazilians, a lot of Ukrainians, but they seem to do it. They're always there every year. They're always making it competitive. They're no walkover by any stretch of the imagination. They have talented players. Their captain, the Brazilian Tyson, is a super player. They've brought in Maicon as well, not the Maicon that a lot of soccer fans might be accustomed to seeing, but he's about 40 now. It's actually Maicon, 21-year-old from Corinthians in Brazil, who is... They're expecting a lot of things from the paid pretty penny for him. So that this one, it isn't as hard to call as the others. I would say City and Lyon definitely through. Hoffenheim going into the Europa League and Shakhtar dropping out. That's just my gut feeling when I first look at that. When I first look at their that group. But who knows? We'll see. Group G is... I'm not jumping ahead. Yeah, Group G is Real Madrid, Roma, CSKA Moscow, and Victoria Pilsen. This one is another one. It's kind of a bit easier to call than the other ones, I think. Real Madrid, they've started okay this year. They needed Isco to rescue a point for them yesterday against Atletico Bilbao, but, I mean, it's going to take a while. Lopetegui's just got in there. It's going to take them a while, especially after losing the best player in the world to Juventus. It's going to... You know, as I said, it's just going to take time. Bale's going to have to step up. Benzema's going to have to step up. Modric's going to have to step up if he's still there come January, which sources are saying that he won't be. But yeah, I mean, they've won the last 3 years in a row. It's not as if anyone's taking them lightly. They're most likely probably going to go to the latter stages, semi-final, if not final again. And they're not going to really see much trouble in their group, possibly from Roma, who, I mean, they haven't really started well either. They've had a big turnover in players, Roma, to be fair to them. They lost Alisson to Liverpool, Nainggolan, they lost to Inter Milan. Kevin Strootman, they lost as well. They did bring in a few in Steven Nzonzi, Javier Pastore from PSG, Davide Santon from Inter Milan as well. So it's going to take a bit of time for the Roma team to gel. I think they got a 2-2 draw yesterday with Chievo. I mean, they have a decent team. I mean, they have the likes of Edin Dzeko, who's always going to score. And when you sprinkle the rest of those players around him, they're the likes of Nzonzi, who's holding it there, Pastore and stuff. Yeah, I can't see Roma having a problem going through this group. CSKA Moscow, it could provide a bit of a test for them. They finished second last year in the Russian league. They're currently fifth. They've won 3, drew 3, and lost 1 this year. They're a decent side, actually. CSKA Moscow, I've done a bit of research because I didn't really know much about them before the last couple of weeks. They sort of dropped off the radar a bit. But they're hard to beat. They're a hard team to beat, especially like most Russian teams in Russia. They're very, very hard to beat. They've got some players that a lot of casual soccer fans will know. Golovin. They lost him to Monaco, of course, but they have brought in Shalov, and they've Abel Hernandez as well, used to play for Hull City. They can score goals, so if they can defend well in Russia and they can score a couple of goals, who knows, they might be able to nick a couple of results. Victoria Pilsen, I mean, Czech team, it's kind of the same as AEK. Athens just going to be the wooden spoon. I can't even see them winning a game. They're second in the Czech league at the minute, but they were hammered last week by the league leaders, Slavia Prague in Czech Republic. Yeah, they beat them 4-0. They did win 1-0 yesterday, but I mean, these are Pilsen. It's the same thing. I think they're one of the worst teams in the competition. I can't really see them getting a point, in all fairness to them. Group H, the last group, is an interesting one. It's Man United, Juventus, Valencia, and Young Boys of Bern. So obviously the first thing jumps out there is Ronaldo returning to Old Trafford again, like he did for Real Madrid. He scored the last time he went. He did score, of course, his first gold plural yesterday for Juventus against Sassuolo. When I look at this Juventus team, I see a team that they have bought the win now. They're not doing this for the future. They're not building for the future and buying young players. They've made a statement. They've bought Ronaldo, 100 mil, Bought in Douglas Costa from Bayern Munich. Brought Leonardo Bonucci back from AC Milan. None of those cost them... none of them were cheap. Anyway, let's say that. They adding that to other players that they already have there. Blaise Matuidi. They've got Emery Chan from Liverpool. Mario Mandzukic, Pablo Dybala. I mean, and they've started 4 games, 4 wins. It took Ronaldo a bit to get off the mark, but now I don't think they'll be able to stop him scoring. Man United, they had a massive win yesterday against high-flying Watford. Everybody's always looking to write off, Man United always looking to write off Jose, but listen, he's won the amount of trophies for a reason. People are thinking he's losing it a bit, and sometimes it is. His behaviour has been a bit erratic over the past year, possibly, especially the past couple of months, especially when they haven't been getting good results at home. He's always looking to throw the blame to everyone else, but if there's one thing about Jose, he's a serial winner. He always seems to find a way to win, and if things aren't going well, I can see him taking off. Obviously, he'll not take off. I mean, there's 15 million reasons why he won't. I think they'll either get shot of him, or obviously he'll go on and do something this year, win a big trophy. I don't think the Carling Cup the Carabao Cup, as it's known as now, or the FA Cup will be enough. I don't think any of those will be enough for him to keep his job. I think it'll have to be the Champions League or the Premier League this year, and it'll be a tough order, but as I said, Jose's a serial winner, so I wouldn't write them off. Valencia, they've had a poor start to the season. They finished fourth last year in the La Liga, so I mean, they're not, obviously you can tell they're a decent team. They brought in Kevin Gamero, as I was saying earlier, from Atletico Madrid. They brought in Kondogbia. They have Rodrigo, the Spanish striker. He had 19 goals last year. So Valencia, if they turn their early season form here around, they can definitely trouble some teams. They also brought in Missy Bashuai, the Chelsea striker, on loan as well. So they've a lot of firepower. If they can defend and they can hold Man United or Juventus, which is, I mean, no easy task at home, they can possibly nick some because they can't score goals. Young Boys of Bern, I mean, same sort of thing as recently the last couple of groups. I can see them just going out. Can't really see them doing anything. They're currently sitting top of the Swiss league. They're the champions of Switzerland. Yeah, they won 3-0 yesterday and stuff. I mean, for what you can read into that, I can't really see them doing anything. Valencia could trouble Juventus and Man United, but I think it will be eventually them dropping in the Europa League with Juventus and Man United going through. But that's just what I think. If you had to ask me to call a winner of the tournament right now, I would have to say Man City. Honestly, just because they're just playing so well. They're playing so well, they're knocking the ball about, and they look like they have another gear to go when they get De Bruyne and stuff back. Obviously, it won't be easy against the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid, those types of teams, but I think they can do it, definitely, especially with Pep there. Calling the shots. I mean, there's nobody else in world football that you would want at the helm to him. My dark horse team, as I said, was Lyon. I can see them doing a bit of damage this year, but it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully you'll join me the next couple of weeks, over the next couple of match days. Anyway, I'll be doing more of this, but I'll be having guests and stuff from around Europe and around the States giving me their impressions on what they think and all the fallout from the games as well. So make sure you keep up to date with it. You can download this on Sports Radio with 10WHB's website, as well as I'll be putting the links out on my social media as well. So thank you for joining me, the Independent Republic of Soccer podcast, and I'll see you again next time.